many years ago, oh, I was probably 16 or 17, happened to be in a local convenience store, and I saw this little sign up, had a picture of a dog on it, and you know, I thought, lost dog, and you know, your heart goes out for that sort of thing. And was reading through it, and it started this description of lost dog, brown fur, some missing due to mange, blind in one eye, deaf, lame leg due to recent traffic accident, slightly arthritic. I'm thinking, this poor dog. And then I read the last line, goes by the name Lucky. Now, it turns out that I realized that somebody was having some fun at my expense, but you know, you're thinking, okay, there are some days I feel like I can really empathize with this dog, fictional dog named Lucky. And of course, growing up, my parents watched Hee Haw. How many of you have seen Hee Haw? And always one of those fun segments that they would do. How many can sing it with me? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Yeah, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. So, you know. There, and again, there are days that we feel like, yeah, that could be my theme song. Just tough. And you know, and some of us who are a little bit older like to have some fun with younger folk who complain about adulting. And I found a fun picture for this one. Go ahead and up there it is. I can't adult today. Please don't make me adult. So even younger people sometimes just kind of want to, hey, I'm done. I don't want to do that. But the truth is that life is often filled with difficulties and heartaches, and that's true even for believers and followers in Jesus. There is no guarantee for us that everything's going to go well. And if you think that's the case, then I would say you probably haven't been reading your Bible real closely. You go almost all the way back to the beginning. When sin entered the world, problems followed, even for those who are godly, that sometimes struggle with just difficult situations. Now, I'm going to tattle on us. If you're watching on the internet, go ahead and just kind of go, and cover your ears because you probably don't want to hear this. But the truth is, especially as followers of Jesus, when we show up at church, we're good at putting up fronts. I mean, what would really happen if you're greeting people, how are you today? Oh, my back hurts. Every joint in my body feels like it's on fire. I really didn't want to come today, but I dragged myself out and I can barely wait to get home. I just want to go home and fall in bed. Oh, okay, you know, how do you answer somebody who answers that way, you know? And I realize part of that is the convention of, you know, but that's what we do so often. We put on a good front. We put on a good face. We learn how to hide what we're going through with most people because we know that if we really told them like that, maybe not quite that dramatically, but, you know, it kind of makes us uncomfortable, especially if it's somebody that we haven't built a close relationship with. And the interesting thing there is, which is why one of our goals is to relaunch our small group ministry, so that outside of the worship's important, but it's also, I think, important to meet in small groups around God's Word, where you not only get to learn God's Word, but you get to learn the people around you. And we all have folks like this in our lives. They can walk into a room and you're thinking something's bothering them, something's wrong. Just in the way they see it in their eyes and in their posture, something, and immediately. And that's a wonderful thing with that closeness that we have with each other. But like I say, so often, especially at church, oh, I'm good, I'm fine, everything's wonderful. And inside we're hurting, and I don't know why. This should be the one place we should be able to open up and be vulnerable at times. And yet, for a lot of times, it's hard for us. I'll admit, there have been times like when we've had prayer times in other churches, you know, if you have a need, you know, if something's on your heart, come and let us pray with you. And it'd be so hard at times. I'm just, you know, this is just little old me. This is us, right? This is us. Sometimes it'd be a matter of pride. Well, I don't want anybody to know I'm struggling, or I don't want anybody to know I'm hurting. And we don't open up about those things, and yet, isn't that what we're supposed to be there for one another and help one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, allow God to use others in the gifts that he's given them to be a blessing in our lives? And I think sometimes we put up that front as we just get tired of hearing those same worn out platitudes. Because that's, isn't that what we tend to do at times? We struggle sometimes to engage, truly engage, so we just have, and we all have them. The little quips we say that kind of, oh, I'm going to let you know that I care, but I don't care, yeah. I don't know, maybe I'm being judgmental here, I don't know, or maybe I'm opening the closet, I don't know. And there are days that we're good at that, and some days we're, you know, it's all of a sudden, it's like, boom, oh man, you got to sit down and talk to me about it. Let's go out for lunch today and share, just open your heart. Let me pray with you and walk with you. Sometimes the hurts we deal with come from our past. They linger and pop up to affect us at strange times. I know for a lot of years, my mom ended up getting sick and developed double pneumonia and passed away in the hospital. And Kelly would have to kind of calm me down, because every time I'd hear somebody was sick with pneumonia, you know, that past experience with my mom was people with pneumonia die. And it'd be almost an irrational panic or fear or something would come over me, and she'd have to remind me, not everybody who gets pneumonia dies. We just need to pray for them. God can touch them. But that was something in my past that every time, you know, it just popped up. And thankfully, the Lord's helped me overcome that. I mean, I'm still concerned, but not that fright and panic that used to come to my mind. Sometimes the hurts are relational. I know so many believers who struggle, especially because of an unsaved spouse or a wayward child. And again, that's one of those things that often we learn to mask or put up that little front. And inside, you know, they come, they smile, they sing, and they worship, and I think it's from their heart, but at the same time, their hearts are breaking. I remember in one of our early churches, a woman whose husband was in prison, that God led her to a friend who invited her to church, and she gave her heart to the Lord, had four small children, husband's in prison, and one evening at a service, she's up at the altar praying, and I come up and pray with her, and she's just bawling. I said, "What can I pray with you about?" And she goes, "I just want what you and Kelly have. I just want to be able to have a relationship for my spouse and I to have a relationship with God that I see you and Kelly have." And I'm thinking, my first thought was, "Thank you, Lord." Something I take for granted that so many people don't have. Now, I don't mean this to be a whole downer thing, because believe it or not, we get to a good part here, but the truth is, there are times we struggle, there are times we're down, there are times we feel, we go through those dark seasons of the soul. And I will tell you this, that what I have experienced over the years is this: Satan will use those opportunities many times to try to drive you away from the very people you need to be around. And God help us if, as a church, as God's people, we are ever judgmental of folks that are walking through those difficulties. Even at times when those times, maybe their first thing is, I don't even know if I really believe in God anymore. And our first reaction, you can't say that sort of thing. And yet, we're going to find, as we look today, that the psalmist, he starts out Psalm 22, and I encourage you to open your Bibles and turn there today, because it's not going to be up on the board. He starts out with, my God, why have you forsaken me? That sense of, I don't know what's going on, I'm hurting, and God seems to have abandoned me. And if the psalmist can say this, then why can't we be honest at times? And instead of reacting in shame or fear or shock, that loving embrace, because sometimes we get to be the arms and hands of Jesus that enfold someone and says, I don't know exactly what you're going through, but know that I know that he hasn't, and I'm here too. We're not going to give up on you. See, life is best lived as a follower of Jesus, but again, it doesn't exempt us from trials or troubles. Barnabas and Paul encourage believers to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Later, Paul would write to Timothy that those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, yet they must remain faithful to living out the truth of the Scriptures. Now, in our series, I want us to look here at Psalm 22. It is a lament or an expression of sorrow, of grief, that portrays the suffering of an individual waiting for God's deliverance. And it's an expression of faith in and praise to the God who helps in time of suffering. It's a little longer, but I do want to read through all the psalm and follow along with me. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I lift up my voice, but I find no relief. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted in you and were never disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him." Yet they brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my... Let me try that again. Verse 9. Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my mother's breast. I was thrust into your arms at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. Do not stay so far from me, for trouble is near and no one else can help me. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in. Like lions, they open their jaws against me, roaring and tearing into their prey. My life is poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength is dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs, and an evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among them and throw dice for my clothing. O Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Save me from the sword. Spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horns of these wild oxen. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. The poor will eat and be satisfied. All who seek the Lord will praise him. Their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. For royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Let the earth, rich of the earth, feast and worship. Bow before him, all who are mortal, all whose lives will end as dust. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything he has done. This psalm begins with this anguish, lament of that sense of being forsaken by God. Then the psalmist praises God and appeals to his past acts of deliverance. He describes being publicly humiliated and again appeals to God, reminding him of his lifelong trust in the Lord. He vividly describes his suffering, portraying himself as in physical anguish and weak and surrounded by enemies. He petitions God to come quickly and deliver him. The psalmist then turns to praise as he declares God's salvation to the congregation of Israel. The scope of his praise widens as he proclaims God's salvation to all the nations and future generations. This psalm is many times could be an expression of what we're walking through in those tough times. Those first five verses underscores God's silence. He says the ancestors cried out to God and were delivered by him, and the psalmist receives no answer to his cries. But God has proven himself faithful in the past, even though now it appears he has forsaken the psalmist. I know someone maybe it was this morning, talked about how we can hold on to hope even in the dark times because we know what God has done in the past. We can look to the past to encourage our faith. In verses 9 and 10, the psalmist, despite his accuser's taunts, he affirms his trust in God. Their relationship had been close for many years. The psalmist describes God as the one who took him from the womb. God has been with him from birth, and the psalmist has viewed God as his God since birth. That relationship has been there all along. He goes on to vividly describe his suffering. And through all of this, you see this progression of kind of the complaint to God, the reminder of God's faithfulness in the past, reminding God of what he's going through, and then kind of that breakthrough at the end to, okay, God, I've done my complaining. I remind myself of what you've done. I'm looking at the situation around me, and then he gets that breakthrough. And says, now I know I can praise the Lord because God has not forsaken me. He has not done working in my life. And so in 23 and 24, he encourages the community of believers to praise God, that they should stand in awe of him because contrary to the claims of verses 1 and 2, God had not forsaken him. God had heard the psalmist's cry and responded. And then it ends here with where the scope of his praise extends beyond faithful Israelites as he invites all the earth to remember and turn to God. He is not just the God of Israel, but over all the nations. And I think that's one of those things we need to keep in mind is that even through the dark times, as God works in our lives, we need to be careful to give him the praise and to let people know this is how God is at work in my life. I felt forsaken, but God was there for me. And the psalmist concludes his praise by including future generations. I'm going to tell those who come after me about what God has done. You know, it is so important that we do focus. That's one of our goals through Kingdom Builders, is to focus on this next generation. If the Lord should tarry, we need to help raise up young people and children that know the Lord and know what it is to serve Him and to love Him all of their lives. I heard a wonderful report on, I believe it was Tuesday night, they're working at getting campgrounds reopened for camp this summer. But they had a boys camp, I think that first weekend of June, end of May, I don't remember, but here. But the camp director was sharing that it just moved his heart so much that at boys camp, they had four young men that surrendered their lives to Jesus for the first time, and four that were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit on that weekend. Thank God for what He's doing in this next generation. And may we be part of that and share what God has done, and with not in the way that we talk about it, well, in the old days, but just like today's not good or God doesn't do that anymore, but in the past when we were hungry for God and sought after God, God met with us, and God is still the same today. Praise the Lord. My prayer this morning that is you leave here, that you will leave this place with that strong conviction that God is on your side, even if you don't feel it. Again, it doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to you, or that maybe it's not to say you shouldn't think that you might be here this morning going, Master Rich, you don't know what I've been walking through. Makes no difference whether you're there now or in days to come. I don't know anybody who's not walked through a difficult time in their lives. But have that conviction that God is on your side. I want you to hear again what verse 24 of Psalm 22 says, that He has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned His back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. You can give praise to the God who helps. Sometimes you do it by faith. Sometimes you start praising God when you don't see the answer. But know that He does not abandon you. He does not forsake you. And more often than not, at least I will speak from my experience, God often answers my prayers in a totally different way than what I was expecting. Thankfully, God's smarter than I am, and He doesn't always listen to me. He knows what the need is before I even pray about it, and I try and tell God at times what to do, but God usually has a better answer or a better way of meeting that need than what I ever thought of. I love what, as Paul is praying for the church in Ephesians 3, and he talks about, now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. God is so good about that. Praise the Lord. This psalm is not the only psalm, and we could spend the rest of the morning just reading passages out of the psalms that reminds us, but here's just a few of the verses in psalms that reminds us that God is our helper and we can give Him praise. Psalm 10:17 says, Lord, You know the hopes of the helpless. Surely You hear their cries and comfort them. Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. Some of us older ones remember this and probably start singing it in I think it comes more from the King James, the song does, but it says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. God is my refuge and God is my strength. Okay, that was for us older ones here in the room. Psalm 28, verses 6 and 7. Praise the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and shield. I will trust with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. That praise to the God who helps. It's not a matter of sometimes of our understanding. As I look back over some of the things Kelly and I have walked through, and I've seen other people walk through, I just have to shake my head and say, God, I don't understand. I don't understand why you allowed this into my life or into my friends' lives. But I do know this, that I can rely on the goodness of God. Maybe you haven't had that moment in your life. I did. As a 17-year-old boy who had lost my mom and dad both when I was 16. And I was struggling. It was a Sunday night after church. And I was laying in my bed and honestly feeling a little bit sorry for myself. But, you know. And I had that little pity party with God. God, if you really love me, how could you let my parents die? How, you know, why have I had to walk through all these things? And finally, I kind of reached that place, and I think it was the Spirit dealing with my heart. You have to decide, do you truly believe in the goodness of God? You know, it's easy just to quip off Romans 8:28. Probably everybody here in some Bible version can do it. For we know that God works together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Works all things for good. But sometimes it's really hard to hold on to that. Till you think about how he loves us. That he really is good. That he is working for our good. If you're a parent, you understand that. That there are times you let your children do things that you know, oh, they might get hurt. Now, you try to balance that of, okay, this could really hurt them, but okay, if they do this, I mean, think about trying to teach them how to ride a bike. How often do they spill? Even, you know, because sometimes you've got to let go. And people, well, you're cruel. Well, no, they've got to learn. And I think there are sometimes God allows us to walk through these difficulties so we can learn to trust him, learn to make the choices that will honor him and are good for us. And I think sometimes God even lets us fall and scrape a knee occasionally just so he can pick us up and say, see, you didn't do it my way, did you? This morning we celebrated, around the Lord's Supper, we celebrated communion. And we did it because it's a reminder to us that he is the God who is there to help and that we should always praise him. Romans 8:32 reminds us of this. It says there that since he did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Now, sometimes we confuse needs and wants. Or we may want something to happen in a particular way, but God has something better. But don't ever doubt that he loves you enough to work what is good in your life. We know this because he gave up his own son for us. That's what we celebrate and remind ourselves of as we partake of communion. He suffered. Jesus suffered as we suffer. He struggled as we struggle. And how do we know this? Well, all the way back to the book of Psalms. Psalm 22 is considered a messianic psalm. In other words, it's a psalm that tells us and kind of foretells the life of Jesus. So we look in the Gospels, we see several incidents where Psalm 22 is found. Matthew 27:46, as Jesus is on the cross, it says, at about 3:00, he cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. Sorry for those of you who know Greek or Aramaic. I know I slaughtered that. But here's what it means. It says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Sound familiar? Psalm 22 starts out with that. Psalm 22:7-9 speak about how Jesus is mocked and taunted. We continue, look in Matthew's gospel again, chapter 27. As Jesus is on the cross, it says, the people passed by shouting abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. Look at you now, they yell at him. You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross. Save yourself. The leading priests, the teachers of the religious law, and the elders also mocked him. He saved others, they scoffed, but he can't save himself. So is he the king? So he is the king of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God. Let God rescue him if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. Verse 16 of Psalm 22 speaks about how his hands and feet were pierced, foretelling his crucifixion. And verse 18 speaks of how those who did it would gamble for his clothing. In John's Gospel, verse 19 and 23 and 24 says, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in four pieces from top to bottom. So they said, rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it. This fulfilled the scripture that says, they divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing. So that is what they did. Matthew again, 27, says, after they had nailed him to the cross, the soldier gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. And that piercing that Jesus took, which actually is out of Zechariah, but I wanted to read this too. Out of this, one of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. So much of what Jesus suffered for us on the cross, what he went through, was foretold. Psalm 22 is that messianic psalm. So much of it points to that reminder. As the psalmist did, crying out to God, and realizing that God was there for him, that he could give praise to the God who helps. And we know this because it was ultimately fulfilled in God sending his Son Jesus to die for us, that every need we may ever have might be fulfilled through him. Praise be to God. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us of how Jesus came and that he suffered as we suffered, and that because of that, he is there to help us. Hebrews 2, 14 through 18 says this, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels, but he came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people, since he himself had gone through suffering and testing. He is able to help us when we are being tested. He has gone through the suffering, so he is able to help us. Two chapters later, and probably verses that we're more familiar with, Hebrews 14 or 4:14 through 16. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. He not only faced them, he conquered them. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. This morning, if you're here or you're listening to this message online, let me encourage you to hold firmly to your faith in God. He is the God who helps. You can find grace to help when you need it most. Again, it probably won't happen when or how you think, but you can trust in the goodness of God. we're going to sing a couple more songs to close out the service this morning, just declarations of the goodness of God and how he's there for us and that we can praise him. I'm just going to come down to the front, and I mean, there are others. If you would like special prayer for something this morning, I know we had a prayer time earlier, but again, just open it up. I don't have the answers, but I know the one who does. And I would love that opportunity to pray with you this morning. Or if you're going, Pastor, right now things are good. Well, let's just give him praise. Praise the Lord.